it up when I fall, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Like Sam said, that's the focal point. And then he goes on to push the point even more, if you will. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. So again, he's making that differentiation between what he is able to do, what he is capable of, and what Christ is capable of. But then he says, but this one thing I can do. And that's what? With the help of Christ, forget what lies behind. And here in the ESV it says straining forward. Others may say, like King James says, reaching. It's this idea of intentionality, our characteristic we're talking about this morning. It's focus, it's diligence, directed in the right place. And that's what diligence is, focus is. It's a direction in the right place. And that's what he's saying. I can't look behind me. You know, if we tried to drive down the street by looking in our rearview mirror, we'd get in quite a few wrecks, I believe. Can't do that. Now, just as the rearview mirror in our car is a valuable tool to us, it's not where our focus, our intention should be. When we're moving forward, we got to be looking forward. And as Christians, shouldn't we always be seeking to be moving forward? We talked about that. What are leaders? They're elite. They're looking to get to that next peak. So as Christians, this idea of being diligent, focused, intentional, it's in the right direction. And that's what he's saying here. It's not that I focus on things behind me. It's that I strain forward to what lies ahead. It's not just a looking forward. It's straining. It's reaching. It's diligence. You don't stop running a race until you cross the finish line. You know, we find many scripture giving this illustration of running a race, the Christian life. And it's so fitting. It's so fitting because it's that idea that one foot in front of the other, always moving forward in the right direction and never giving up and stopping. When is the race over? Only when you've crossed the finish line. You can stop anytime you want to. That doesn't mean the race is over. It's not over until you cross the finish line. Anyone have any thoughts on Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14? Yeah, my Brian.
Yeah, here Paul is a devout, faithful Christian who has engaged in missionary journeys, and he's defining the finish line all somewhere in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Say that I have done what is necessary, I'm good.
Yeah.
Paul never took that attitude. He always knew that the finish line was somewhere before him, and he lived with purpose and intent, knowing that
that's
the
right.
Finish line always laid ahead.
That's right. You know, the characteristic of, you know, in that second week, the characteristic of being elite and this characteristic of intentionality and focus and diligence marry so well together. And that's what Brian's talking about here. Paul had that idea of, well, I've done some pretty important things. But this can't be the highest peak. He was always, he'd get to the top of this peak and he'd look out and find the next one that was taller and say, that's where I want to be. He'd get to the top of that one and look out and find another one and say, no, that's where I want to be. It was such an intent focus on being as productive for God as he possibly could be. And there was never an idea of, oh, I'm good. Now, here I am. I'm like Brian said, I'm on top of the mountain. Look what I've done. That was never that idea. There had to be that diligence and that focus of where he knew God wanted him to be for him to seek those other peaks, right? And Brian hadn't looked at my notes, but he did well in putting us to the next point. What can happen when we're so intentional and so diligent and have such a high level of focus? We're human, right? We wear down. What can happen? Turn to Galatians chapter 6. We love to talk about the good things, but we've got to address where we will have challenges. What does Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 tell us? And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. You know, it's been said that the main reason people are not successful is because they cannot stand the monotony of success. Think about that. The main reason people are not successful is they can't stand the monotony of success. What does staying on that path to success look like? It looks like a lot of focus. It looks like a lot of doing and doing and doing. Always moving forward. And sometimes you can grow weary in doing that, can't you? You know, there are only so many folks you can talk to at the flea market that tell you no or tell you worse before that little voice starts in your head, isn't it, Wes? There's only so many sermons you can preach and just not feel like you're getting through or have anyone respond before you start saying, am I doing good? It's human nature. It's human nature for us to grow weary when we're so focused on something and acting so diligently. What does the inspired writer tell us? Don't grow weary. Why? Because it may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, but at some point, God has promised us that our well-doing will do what? We will be rewarded. We will reap. Think about, you know, we talked about the illustration of running used so much in the Bible. This is also one that we see so much of. It would have made sense at the time as many farmers and those who dealt with crop would have been more of a norm maybe for us than for us today. What would you think of the farmer who planted his crop today, went out to the field tomorrow and said, well, that didn't work. I spent all day planting this corn, and it's been 12 hours. All that hard work. Or even a week later, or even a month later. What does the farmer have to do? Be patient. The farmer knows that he is not going to reap his crop in a day or a week. Or maybe even a month. But he knows, if he's patient, it's going to happen. Go ahead, Wesley.
Key for us is we need to be
That's right. You know, Abby and I are the parents of a perfectionist, at least one. We've got another what seems to show those traits sometimes. But Harper, if she can't get it right the first time, I mean, she's beating herself up. And Hayden was even doing it the other day. So she was trying to learn to ride her bicycle without training wheels. And first two times, just wasn't working. She was done. And explaining to them, that's two times. And I come out 2 days later, and she's cruising around the backyard like she's been doing it for 10 years. She figured out, I just got to keep trying. You know, you talk about, Wesley brings up a great point. We've talked about goals, right? What did we say the definition or the reason for a goal is? It's the reason for a goal, to act appropriately in the moment. That's the reason for a goal, right? Because it keeps you focused. You have a goal so you know how to act appropriately right now. Because if I'm not acting appropriately right now, I'm not going to achieve that goal. And it's having the idea that, no, I'm not talking about acting appropriately for the next year. I mean, we want to, but that's a tough amount to bite off, isn't it? Purpose of a goal is for us to act appropriately in the moment. And we're going to talk about that in a little more detail here in a minute, but we also have to understand with a goal that it's okay to think big with a goal. How big is heaven? Bigger than we can imagine. Is it too big a goal? Absolutely not. But if we're not careful, it can overwhelm us. So we have to think big and act small. And again, we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail in a second. Go ahead. Yeah. Makes a difference, doesn't it? Yeah. If you don't have anything you're shooting for, how do you know how to act right now? I mean, literally, minute to minute, day to day, how do you know how to act if you don't know where you're going? You can't. You're going to go day to day, making decisions that will get you through the day. Many of them probably not the wisest decisions, because as older ones, we know that decisions are impactful. The decision usually doesn't, you know, it only takes a moment to decide, but usually the repercussions of the decision are not in the moment, right? So when we are acting intentionally and diligent and focused, we can wear down. It's this illustration here that's given to us of reaping. We've got to remember, crop's not going to come up just like that. We have to be patient. God promises us that the blessing is coming. What about Colossians chapter 3, verse 2? We'll continue on this idea of goals and actions. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. That's what we just talked about, isn't it? Where is your goal? Where are you focused? Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Notice that first word. Set. What do you think of when you think of something being set? Unmoving. Fixed. Right? You sometimes hear the term set it and forget it. I think it was used on some old cooking something where it was first originated maybe. That idea, it's set. What do they say when concrete or one of those products, what's the word used when it's ready? It's set, right? Set your minds on things that are above. Don't have it be, just kind of random thought. So, it comes across my mind during the day. Something will come up and I'll think about it. Or it'll be time to eat and we'll need to pray. Sometimes that's how we can go through our lives. We haven't set our minds on things above. It's in there. It's rattling around. But have we set our minds on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth? It's an idea of focus, locking in your focus on a goal of heaven so that you know how to do what? Act appropriately in the moment.
If you set your mind on things above, I'm not saying we won't have problems.
That's right.
We remember what Jesus Christ said in John 14, 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. Talks about going away, preparing a mansion, and returning. If we think about that often, that can help assuage a lot of the earthly worries and troubles that we need to allow ourselves to get bogged down in.
That's
we
right.
have to remember Jesus Christ's words. They need to be on the forefront of our minds and hearts.
That's right. I wrote down the wrong verse here that I wanted to go to next. I'm going to see if I can quickly find it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sam.
While you're looking for the verse, speaking for myself personally, what helps me day by day is what Jesus told that Smyrna church in Revelation chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The goal there is to receive the crown of life. And how you get it to be faithful. Now, he didn't say you should be perfect. Matter
That's
of
right.
fact, he said you will have struggle. He said that Satan will put you in jail for 10 days. But he said keep your focus, be faithful. And I think focusing on the goal can carry the idea of being faithful. And know that our adversary, will bring distraction, will bring difficulty, which is Satan, but be faithful. If you fall down, get up. You fall down, get up.
And, yeah.
And keep moving because the goal is the crown of life.
That's right.
It really helps me a lot.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a bust on this verse. There are not 10 chapters in Colossians, so I have no idea where I was trying to go with that one. But I do have my next verse right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, continuing on this idea. Stay in the same chapter, move on a few verses as he elaborates. We've set our minds on things that are above, not on things of this earth. What does it say in verse 23? Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Whatever you do, work heartily. Remain focused. Be diligent. Be intentional. For who? For God. And not for men. Why? If we're trying to please people, how will that work out for us? Never works out. Why? Because what pleases you today won't please you tomorrow. And what pleases you won't please Vicky. What pleases Vicky won't please Brandon. How many of you like shooting at a moving target? I mean, if you're really wanting to bring the meat home, Brandon, and fill up the freezer, would you rather the deer be still or do you want him sprinting through the woods, right? I mean, I know it's a better story if he's sprinting and you shot him on the run. But if we're really, I need to put some meat in the freezer. We don't want a moving target. And that's what we're looking at if our daily intention is to please people. It'll be okay for a little while, but it's a moving target. Not only that, what if what pleases people is in direct conflict with what pleases God? Then what do you do? Well, I've been on this path where I'm really doing a good job of pleasing people. I'm making everybody happy. But uh-oh, something comes up that would make people happy, but it would break God's heart. What do we do? When if we had been striving to please God and focused on Him all along, then it's not a problem. It's not a fork in the road that we come to and we go, I really don't know what decision to make here. If our focus and our intention is always on pleasing God, now I'm not saying the decisions are easy, but we know the answer. We know what we should do. What if we look at 2 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 1. I love lists in the Bible. One, because they're easy to memorize. But two, because usually it's a pretty spelled out pattern that God has given us. And for me, I need things spelled out. What does it say in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 5? For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an inheritance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let's clarify there at the end. If you practice these qualities, verse 10, you will never fall. Again, does that mean we won't have trials and struggles? No. But fall, as it relates to our eternal relationship with God, we can have, again, as he mentions here, an election and calling that is sure. If we are doing these things, if we are focused and intent on following Christ by doing what? Having faith in Him, knowing that He will take care of us, do what He said, that He is who He is, that we will follow that with virtue. Virtue is behavior showing high moral standards, that we will act in a way that's appropriate and glorifies God. And adding to that knowledge, and to the knowledge self-control, that we're able to take that knowledge and focus it, be intentional, control what we do, and add to that steadfastness, that those things, that self-control, even though we may not be reaping it right now, that we're going to hang on to it. Keep moving. Keep going the right direction. And then we're doing all of that with godliness, seeking to serve our Lord each and every day. If we are doing these things, we can make our calling and election sure. We can know that we will not fall as it relates to our eternal home with God. Finally, let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Any other comments on that passage from 2 Peter? Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. That's right. It's made very clear, isn't it? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This idea of testing and discernment, going in with our characteristic of leaders being intentional, focused, and diligent. And when we go to the doctor, we want there to be some testing done, right? We don't want to walk in and have them just kind of look us up and down and say, "No, you're good. I don't feel good. Something's wrong. I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you that." Right? We need some testing, as minor as it might be. We need some testing. And we need some discernment. We need a little bit of intention in what's going on. Some focus. Also, don't want to be seeing the doctor while he's texting or talking to somebody on the phone. I'm not getting a good feeling from this. This doctor I'm describing here, I hope none of you go to them. We want somebody that's showing some discernment, right? That's the characteristic we should have in our life, in our Christian walk. We better be testing things. We better have a mind of discernment. Whenever we're faced with options or choices in our life, we better stop and say, "Okay, what does it look like if I make this choice? What's the outcome? Let me measure it against my goal out here. Is this appropriate in the moment? Or if I make this choice, is this better? Does this line up with what I've said my goal is? Am I using that discernment? Am I testing it against the measuring stick?" Are we acting intentionally in our Christian walk? Are we leaders that people can look to and say, "You know what? Clint just doesn't fly by the seat of his pants when it comes to how he lives. I can tell that whenever they are doing something at work, that they're very conscientious of making sure it's right. They're very conscientious of how they treat people. They're very intentional about how they speak." Are those things that people can say about us? Because as Christians, it better be. We need to be leaders who show the characteristic of intentionality, of focus, of diligence. It's going to give us opportunity. It's going to give us opportunity to lead others to Christ. And it's how, as we've pointed out, we can know that our election and calling is sure. Anybody have any other thoughts or comments? We're just about out of time. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else? All right. Well, thank you so much for your attention.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.